Hello and welcome to the Tech on Toast podcast. My name's Chris Fletcher and I'm your host. Tech on Toast exists to connect hospitality to technology. Search for your best problem-solving tech on our marketplace, listen to both operators and tech experts on our podcast, or just meet up with the brilliant people who are helping innovate the hospitality industry as we enter a new era. Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is brought today by Point One. Point One offers the complete EPOS system for your hospitality business. From mobile order and pay and self-serve kiosks to restaurant and kitchen management, Point One has the solution. Head over to their website today to find out more and get in touch with their experienced team. Enjoy the show. Welcome, guys, to the next episode of Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, I'm very proud to have my Bezzy here from Fuse Ignite, Sophie McDonald, the marketing director from Fuse Ignite. Sophie, say hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining.
She's just enjoying the microphone.
I know. It's all such a gimmick to me, so I'm just excited to be here.
How's your day been?
Good.
Don't lie. Where have you been all night? But
I did spend most of the night in A&E. My husband ran the marathon and has since got a very swollen foot, but apparently it's shin splints.
There you go. That was for him, yeah.
A very special round of applause. But it's just shin splints, so now he's getting absolutely no sympathy from me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Me and Sophie know each other. We do some little bits of work together, but we're with Fuse. But tell us a little bit about Fuse and Ignite, because obviously you're looking after both of them in your role as marketing director. You're very busy. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, so I actually worked for Ignite when I first graduated from university in 2009. Paul gave me my first job at the height of the recession. So it's great to be back, and it's quite a dynamic role, just being able to prioritise what the most important thing is that Ignite needs and also what the most important priorities are for Fuse. But Ignite's an integrated digital marketing agency. We specialize in everything hospitality related, from branding, marketing, digital marketing, organic social, paid advertising, branding, websites, the whole thing. We cover it all.
Everything.
Absolutely everything, which makes it a very, very interesting and exciting agency to
be
in.
Yeah, not a dull day.
Never a dull day. Never a dull day. And Fuse specializes in providing e-commerce products for hospitality businesses. And it's a really exciting place to be because it came fresh out of the pandemic, where we successfully delivered the meal kit platform for Hawksmoor, which generated a ton of revenue for them.
An insane company as well.
And an insane company, exactly. And who didn't order one of those steak meal kits, which were absolutely divine?
I think a lot of bad things obviously happened in the pandemic, but some of the great things that happened to the industry were those kind of things that came out of it, right? The brands that weren't doing e-commerce or delivery, whatever it might be, and suddenly were enabled to by lovely people like you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we were in a position, obviously, where quite a lot of business had disappeared, but we were able to shift and to see what that opportunity was and to develop that piece of tech. And since Fuse has come about, which not only does meal kits, it has an online shop, which is where that sits, but gift vouchers, event ticketing, order and pay at table, collection and delivery, and it's sort of your one-stop shop for your e-commerce.
I love that.
Solution.
I was about to ask you for your pitch, but you already did it.
What
I find particularly interesting, and I always have this conversation around your kind of product, that actually you're built for marketeers, right? This is where you build your product, and it's how you approach everything you build. I spoke to Paul earlier in the year on a podcast, actually. Paul West, sorry. And we were chatting about it. That is a deliberate play, isn't it, from you guys to really focus on marketeers?
I think so. I mean, it absolutely is. And because we've built websites over the years, we also have had to integrate with a lot of different partners, whether it's an HR software, EPOS, or any other kind of e-commerce technology, gift vouchers, et cetera, et cetera. And there's nothing more that we found frustrating that when you go onto someone's website, hospitality, I would say a restaurant's website, and we've designed this really beautiful website for them. It's thought through from a customer journey perspective, from a conversion perspective, a brand perspective. And then you go onto one of their third-party providers, like a gift voucher company, and you get taken onto what looks like a third-party website, and it's a completely disjointed experience for the customer. And it doesn't make sense. It should be owned by that restaurant business, and it should be a very smooth experience for the customer. And not only that, it should be easy for your internal team to manage. So with all the different providers that restaurant managers or marketing managers are trying to manage today, you've got your event ticketing, you've got gift vouchers, you might have your online shop, order and pay at table. You then have four or five different providers you're trying to manage. and different platforms, none of which speak together or have the same back end where you have to upload that information. And that's really hard work to maximize and to manage. And so we basically wanted to provide, to build this platform that would solve that solution. So yeah, that's
liken it to a waiter being switched out 5 times during your restaurant experience. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and it used to be a bugbear of mine when I used to go to a restaurant, you sit there and you'd have a waiter greet you and start serving you. But then halfway through the meal, there'd be a shift change or something would happen. You suddenly get a new waiter or waitress, mm-hmm. and it would change the experience. And I liken that with tech, that actually when you start off on a journey, whether it's from Google into e-commerce, wherever you're going, Hawksmoor, good example, when you're going to buy something, you need to feel like you remain in that place, mm-hmm. in that safe space as it would be. And I think that during the pandemic, people bought various things and plugged in various things, as you're talking about, you know, with third-party platforms, and they've ended up in that place. Yeah, and we collaborated on building your dream digital infrastructure, which has been great fun. And there's quite a big education piece, isn't there, to do around this, because it is still new. And why do you think it's important, actually, that we are focusing on that?
I think marketers have a really challenging digital area to be operating in. There are numerous different pieces of technology that they're supposed to manage, from social media to e-commerce to branding to seasonal offers to local offers. There's a huge scope that a marketer needs to cover today. And I think it's the technology, you know, everyone hears the word tech stack today.
Yep.
Well, everyone sees tech stack in a different way. They interpret it in a different way because they have a different tech stack, and it's really confusing. And I think, you know, we've all been to a lot of the events, trade shows, where you meet a million different providers, some of which provide two platforms, some of which specialize in one, some have a few, some don't. And it's like, where do I start as a marketer? And how do I really know that I've got the right combination for my business?
Exactly that.
And I think that's what we're trying to solve, and what we're trying to make easier for people to understand is, okay, well, if you've got a restaurant, this is what generally your e-commerce or your digital infrastructure should look like. And that's the diagram that we've created.
Yeah, you find this, if you head to the Fuse website, it's on the blog section there, and I have a look at it, because I actually think it's cracking work. And Sophie came up with the diagram.
Mm-hmm.
We all love the diagram. We're in the right place of marketing and tech. But no, the diagram is really important, because actually in marketing particularly, you need to visualize what it looks like. I think that really helped. And anyway, we're talking about something you need to go and see, but go and check it out on the Fuse website. It's brilliant, and there's more to come. It is vital. And on that, we built a load of things around it, didn't we? And we have, me and Sophie have been talking around all different points of our journey. We talked about data, we talked about the actual dream infrastructure, was the diagram, then we talked about data, then we talked about building a marketing plan around that data and actually how you then get return. Because as you said, where do you start? What happens in the bit in the middle? And at the end, are you getting return? What's the point in using all these systems? And what's the point? And are you activating against them across the year? So I'm going to fire a load of questions at Sophie now. She's going to try and help us. So any marketeers listening or anybody in the tech space, this is going to be riveting for you. So how does e-commerce fit into your annual marketing plan?
So I think this is a really, really important question. And this comes down to strategy. And I love strategy, because we all know how challenging it is for hospitality business right now, particularly with inflation and with costs. And we're currently at the financial year for many, many businesses. And I'm pretty sure that every single marketer or operator that's listening to this has had a conversation with their financial director that's saying costs are extremely high and we're under pressure.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone out there can say that they're not having that conversation.
No, this is one of those things that is actually touching everybody, isn't it?
Exactly. And so I think as a marketer, we have to be asking ourselves, how can I make sure that what I'm putting into my marketing plan for the year is going to generate a significant return on what I'm suggesting that we're going to spend? And how can I make sure that if I'm going to sit in front of my board of directors, how am I going to sit there? How am I going to say what I think we should be doing and get them to go, Sophie gets it. She gets where we're at. She's being very shrewd with her marketing plan. And everything she's suggesting, I believe, will generate a good return. So that's, and it's easy. It seems obvious to say that, but I think marketers have to be really on top of that today. And I think one of the best ways you can approach this, as particularly a restaurant marketer, is to look at your e-commerce and to look at how everything you're suggesting is going to generate additional, even particularly incremental revenue online.
And that's the key word, isn't it? Incremental, actually. Mm-hmm. saying to someone, I'm not just going to do what we're doing, we're going to deliver a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. So a very quick example, which I'm not going to go into in too much detail, but if you're going to suggest doing a marketing campaign, how can you get people coming into your site at that very moment? So event ticketing is potentially a way that you can do that. Previously, we've done digital campaigns, win XYZ, it's gone multi-channel, you get lots of data, it generates a good, lots of good goals. But how can you also integrate some sort of activity or people come into your restaurant at the same time that would generate ticket sales and also additional food and or drink sales? So your how you integrate e-commerce into your marketing strategy, which was the original conversation, I think is also important to be looked at from three different areas. The first one is an office calendar. So what offers can you do throughout the year? High season, low season, or days of the week offers. The other is seasonal, so Mother's Day or Christmas, and how can e-commerce be integrated in that, whether it's gift vouchers or particular events that you can do. And then also your multi-channel campaign calendar, so your big brand campaign ideas, and again, how e-commerce can be integrated into that. So those three areas are ways that we think of how we plan a marketing strategy for the year. But I think if you break it down into those three areas, then look at how e-commerce can fit into those. I think that's a useful place to start.
What I love is the calendar, because we used to have, I think we used to call it tent poles in Hard Rock. We used to have tent poles across the year where we would focus on certain events during the year. And that's not really changed, right? Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day. All those things that are going to happen everywhere. But actually now you've got another lever to pull, right? Because you've got the e-commerce side of it where you can take your business outside your four walls. And that's what you've been doing. I mean, I know Drake and Morgan do DJ nights. And I'm trying to... Paul told me the name of the DJ, I can't remember.
Fat Tony.
That's why I remember it. But yeah, he was telling me. But that's a great way of reaching customers that weren't otherwise your customers, potentially, that now will become fans and potentially drink, eat with you afterwards or shop with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, they charge in the region of about £75 per ticket. And per event, it's about 120 tickets plus drink sales. And they are big drink sales.
And the idea isn't new, right? Having a DJ night is not new, but it's the enablement of tech, right? It's been able to put the night on seamlessly and not have to go and get a third party to come and do it for you. You can do it through, well, with Fuse, you can do it right through, right? You can build it into your system. So, I love it. I love it. And what about the touch points that are through the customer journey or through the experience? Have you got any examples that would benefit a restaurant business?
Yeah, so I think we should be talking about order and pay at table.
Yeah.
Because as much as driving incremental revenue online via event ticketing and gift vouchers and your online shopping collection is very, very important, what order and pay at table allows is for you to collect actual customer transactional data.
Yeah.
And the value of that, which I know many marketers will understand listening to this, is you're better able to understand what your actual individual customers like to order, what their preferences are, their frequency, their value in terms of how much they're bringing into the business when they come and spend with you. And that data then gets fed into your CRM, and that allows you to target them in a very personalized way. And so I think order and pay at table is an enormous opportunity for marketers out there, particularly because we all know it's much cheaper to target your loyal customer base and encourage them to come in more often and spend more every time they come in versus trying to spend money capturing new customers.
Yeah.
So order and pay at table, I think, should be on the cards for a lot of businesses. Obviously, it doesn't always suit every kind of dining experience. But I think the holy grail of marketing today has to be data. It has to be understanding your customers better. And I know you've done really amazing podcasts with all sorts of people.
I'm just smiling because I'm thinking of Vic.
Yeah, exactly.
She's done so well, right, with that branding, hasn't she? Because when you ever say data, I just think Vic.
Yeah.
She's won. She's finished, done. But no, I agree. I totally agree. And you're right. Everybody, I was talking to MarketMan, and they're not a marketing engine. They're a back of house. They automate back of house operations. But still, the data they gather from recipe building or from ordering and procurement tells them a story and enables them to be more efficient. And it's the same. I think it's just taken us, I think we just had a lot of data, right, that we were collecting all over the place. But slowly people are figuring out now, actually, if we can bring this all into one place, and it really does tell us a story, we're getting more efficient in our plans. And that actually brings me to an interesting question about budget, because you don't have, most hospitality brands don't have loads of money, right? They don't have massive budgets to spend on a campaign. Maybe they do, I don't know, 2-3 times a year. You're probably better experienced than me to answer that. But how do you integrate e-commerce into your marketing campaigns without blowing the budget? good luck.
Yeah, no, like, look, budgets are tight nowadays, and they're challenging. But I think the good thing about event ticketing is it's effectively like you have to put together a really quick P&L. So how much is it going to cost for me to run this event? What are my food costs? What are my wages costs? And then what are my marketing costs? Which generally, if you've got a good database, like, you should be able to push it out either organically on social. I mean, Drake and Morgan sell out their events within almost half an hour of them being launched.
Wow.
So there's I don't think you have to have massive budgets for e-commerce necessarily. I think you just have to be smart to make sure that it's optimized to convert and that you've got that great data piece to be able to share and push out there. And of course, you've got like your social media channels. Again, with gift vouchers, you don't need a massive budget. You just need to push it out there as much as you can and share the word. So I think, I do think big campaigns, there's still obviously massive value in them. And that effectively is budget. So whether you integrate e-commerce where you can give away free gift vouchers as part of those campaigns, or you organize an event as part of that campaign, again, can get swallowed up in what you already have been doing or should be doing.
And you're hopefully thinking that actually with the e-commerce lever you can pull with this extra revenue stream or the enhanced revenue stream you've got should grease the wheels of the budgets, right? Should give us a bit more budget in marketing. But maybe that's not always the case. I don't know.
Well, I think that's up to you as a marketer to really push it out there and be very, very clear with your financial director and your chief exec and your managing director what you have brought in.
Yeah.
And you can't be shy about that. You have to be very, very clear on the importance, because every time you achieve some kind of revenue bonus or result or whatever that is, as a marketer, you have to say, because I did this, it achieved this. And without this, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and those metrics need to be repeated, right?
Absolutely. That has to be really, really clear. So I think as marketers, it's easy to be forgotten in board meetings at times and not included in those big strategy meetings. But you want your financial director or your marketing managing director to feel that they need you in there, that you're an integral part of the business.
And I don't want to digress too much, and it's your fault for saying it. but on that point around marketing directors in the boardroom, I think it's really interesting, because I've always been quite a marketing brand-led person, just by don't know why, just through my career. I've always found the brand story and actually the marketing side of the business more interesting, even more than operations, because that was my real job. Mm-hmm. But do you think it's changing? Do you think we're getting brands are becoming more market-led, or do you think the more successful brands are probably more market-led, marketing-led?
Definitely. And I think because the market is so competitive out there, to have a really powerful brand and a powerful marketing team behind your business is just such an essential part of being able to be successful today, particularly in the hospitality industry. So I do think it is changing. And I think the world of e-commerce also really helps that, because it's very tangible results. We're not talking about print anymore, right? Those days have long gone. Yeah. And I think you're able to be armed with much more evidence that what you're doing is achieving financial results at the end of the day.
And that's a great segue, Sophie, because tracking and reporting, because as we just mentioned then, actually, when you do have a successful campaign or an unsuccessful campaign, you've got to kind of share your results in some format and be able to then take those metrics and repeat them if they're successful or not, if they're not. What's the right way of doing that in terms of tracking and reporting?
Having a very good digital team that knows what they're doing. It's, as I said before, as a marketer, you have so many different areas that you have to be a specialist in. And I think you need to have a really good digital team that sets everything up properly, whatever it is that you're doing.
What makes up a digital team, just for people like me?
So, I mean, we have at Ignite, we've got our paid advertising team.
Right.
And they are specialists in website UX, in SEO, in Google AdWords, and in social advertising, or any other kind of paid advertising effectively.
I was literally talking to someone last night in the pub. I'm not always in the pub in London, but I was last night. And I was talking to someone, and they need some help around that, around digital advertising, their recruitment agency. And they're trying to get more clicks through their ads and their job ads. And they're really strong. And they said, well, we've got a marketing lady. That's what sorry to say that. That's what they said. We've got a marketing lady, and she does all of it. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
But that's common, right?
Yeah, it must not be. It's so, every time you launch a campaign, it needs to be tagged properly. It has to be tracked properly. You can't just open up a Google Analytics account and expect that X number of visits for LinkedIn is going to be accurate. You have to have a digital team that knows how to tag everything properly, monitor campaigns properly. And from an e-commerce perspective, it it's its own field in its own right. And I think if you don't have a specialist team working on that, you're really running blind. And I would not advise that.
I think that's great advice, because I hope that people who listen to this, I don't talk about losing people's jobs and stuff, but looking at your teams and really thinking, are we built for 2023? Mm. Does our team represent actually what we've got in our armory now? Because now we have e-commerce, we have all automation all over the business. But does our team reflect that? Because if we've still got this old clunky operational model, are we really getting the best out of our tech? So I think it's really interesting. And I'm going back to budget to e-commerce. Would you apply the same budget to it, or would you keep it separate? So if you're building, so you've got your marketing campaign, you've got your tent poles that I talked about, Valentine's, all these kind of things. Would you keep them separate in terms of, what's your best advice there? Is it right to have one solid budget for your whole of your marketing campaign, or split them between digital and I suppose organic or normal, whatever you would call it?
E-commerce doesn't need its own separate budget. It fits in with marketing activity effectively.
Okay.
And it just, it needs to have its own plan. So you need to make sure that you've got all the right gift vouchers when seasonally, whether it's for Mother's Day or Father's Day, or particularly the Christmas market is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
So it needs to have its own sort of marketing activation plan with how it fits in throughout the year, but it doesn't need to have its own separate budget. No. It should be able to fit in. If you're doing a marketing campaign and you're thinking, how can I generate extra revenue as part of this campaign, as opposed to just maybe trying to get bums on seats or trying to capture data, I'm going to do an event as part of it. And I'm going to run that to develop my brand, to do some experiential, to build my community, and to generate extra revenue.
And you built a really cool case study. Well, I mean, you were building a bit of an example for me. Because I said, how do we bring it to life? And you built this really cool example around. It was around. We based it around an Italian brand, right? But yep. That was really clever. And this is also on the website. But it's really interesting to go and have a look, because it basically covered off. What was the? How do you remember what it was? I'm trying to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. It was effectively a marketing campaign and e-commerce template. And we came up with this business, which is this sort of fast, casual, trendy Italian business. It's kind of a bit like a Carluccio's. It was kind of the theme.
I felt at home.
And like the inspiration behind it. About 15 locations across London, sort of neighborhood locations and some in the prime sort of touristy locations. We identify the demographics, so millennials, Gen X, some baby boomers, like families. And then what the challenges are, or what we wanted to achieve, which is kind of boost springtime lunch and dinner trade. And we set some key objectives as well, so who we wanted to target, some revenue targets, increasing table bookings by 10%, 30% more visits to the website, some new email addresses, et cetera, et cetera. And then we came up with a campaign hook, which was to sort of win a free trip to Italy, to the Italian mountains, for a truly Italian gastronomic experience. This is basically what I would just love to win. So I just came up with something.
Available for hire if you'd like some campaigns written.
Yeah, exactly. So then we came, beefed out the campaign a little bit more in detail, and then outlined exactly what the campaign was going to be. So, and how e-commerce could be integrated into that. So as much as you'd enter to win the chance to go to Italy, we also did two events that you could do across two different restaurants, which was an artisan Italian three-course supper club with a live band. And it'd be on a Tuesday night to boost Tuesday night sales. Pre-purchase tickets online, invite some Italian influencers to take part. It would be £60 per ticket, but wouldn't include booze. That's where the opportunity is to generate extra revenue. And then the other event was an ultimate Italian Prosecco tasting club, and that would be for the members only. So that's for your loyal customer base. And the incremental additional revenue that you could get from those two events, we did a bit of a forecast, and it was just under £10,000 of actual revenue.
It's
in terms
mega.
Of ticket sales alone. That's just ticket sales. So it doesn't include additional drink alongside that. So when you're pitching to your financial director, okay, I'd like to have £20,000 for a marketing campaign, that's also third-party spend, which is not exactly a lot of money, but I know I'm going to be able to bring in £10,000 worth of ticket sales. Could we up the budget to 25 just so I can get that bit more reach? You're much more likely to get that sold in than just saying, oh, we just want to win a chance to go to Italy and we'll capture some data.
That's
the power.
Well, that's why I love working with you, because I think it's the detail, right? And I think a lot of people are creative. And I think, I definitely sit in that bracket. I'm creative. But when it comes to really fathoming out detail and going front to back in terms of your benefit, your reward, the objective, the benefit, the reward from carrying out something like that, it's huge. And I urge people, please go and have a look at it, because it's a. I mean, Sophie might think it's quite a simple thing, it rolls off the tongue to her, but I actually think for a lot of marketers who aren't experienced, who are coming up through the business through small to mid-market brands, will find that really useful. And it's actually a template they could use, right?
Absolutely. It's totally workable and usable. It's there to help and support marketers think, right, what can I do? And it also includes things like gift voucher giveaways. It includes the loyalty piece, particularly with the members-only club. So it's like, how can you look after your loyal customers as well and drive that sort of community piece? And it also has got like a CRM strategy in there as well. I've got 8 bullet points there of things you can do. You know, there's little things like send a postcard to the address of all the attendees who came to the event, you know, a love from Italy postcard at the end of event for everyone that came to the event. And I think there are just some really nice things in there that have got a real focus on loyalty and building that community as well. And the benefit is you're able to do that because you collected the data, because you posted the event digitally where you collected their data of every single attendee, not just someone that booked.
If no one takes anything for this podcast, it's that last 10 seconds.
Yeah. So that's the whole 360 approach that this campaign kind of covers. So
love it. It's brilliant. And on that, I've learned a lot actually from doing this little bit of work with you and myself. But what are your top tips, or your top three tips, I suppose, to building an e-commerce marketing strategy?
I mean, believe it or not, my mantra in life is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What a surprise.
She said that with a face that scared me a little bit.
It's
like aimed at me.
Exactly. Use your marketing calendar and use your activation calendar. At the end of the day, you need actual activity that's going to make a difference to the business. And so look at your every single month, put everything in there that you should be doing, even the small, obvious things like Mother's Day and the Father's Day, like I've already said. And start to put in all the easy stuff first, and then start to look at what your business needs and what your brand needs.
Yeah, the nuances to what you
exactly
might do. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the first step, is look at your seasonal calendar, is what boxes you need to tick there. Then I think you need to make sure you have a look at what your business needs. Where are your challenges? Which month struggle? Which days of the week struggle? What time of the day are you struggling? And see what ideas you can come up with utilizing e-commerce, and put that into that calendar. So those are the first 2 points. And then the final thing is just, you've got to look at that whole full cycle. You've got to look at data capture. You've got to look at how you engage with those that every time they sign up and buy something from a digital perspective with you. And also look at how you report on a long-term perspective. I think it's easy to say, this campaign achieved X, Y, Z, you know, within 2 or 3 weeks after the end of the campaign, or maybe within a month. But look at that long-term loyalty piece as well, and the value, the additional data you've captured, and the predicted value, or the value that's been able to bring into the business. And I think if you're able to do that and report back to your seniors on that, I think you're going to be putting the business in a really good place and hopefully get a promotion.
I love that. It's also about getting some wins, right? And I think, and not just getting a win as in saying, oh, I sold this or I increased this, but as you said, proving it. Exactly, and actually, yeah, proving it on a solid campaign and be able to say to people, look, I did this, I'm going to do it again, but you need to help me to do that. And
absolutely.
I think activating successful campaigns require budget. And I know that's it's a bit of a risk, I suppose. Someone has to put faith in you, right? I'm sure people put faith in you at some point.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it all comes down to that good presentation and that good plan. And it's not just campaigns, it's ongoing all the time, you know. And I think that's, your marketing plan involves everything from your ongoing paid advertising, your social organic. This is just one channel on top of everything else that you're doing from a marketing perspective. You know, we say at Ignite, nothing works in isolation.
Love it.
And, you know, I think when you present the ongoing budget that's constantly targeting people and driving people to your website, the campaigns that do the boosting and you know, get the wide reach and the large impressions and all that kind of stuff, your loyalty piece where you're trying to build your community and communicate in a personalized way with your customers, and everything else that you're doing as a marketer, just with, you know, getting people to come into your restaurant, giving great customer service, your upselling tactics, exactly, all of that. It's a part of the puzzle. Yep. It's a part of the really big puzzle. And I think, you know, as long as you've got that plan in place, you'll be successful.
She's doing it again, that face.
I know.
And if I buy Fuse or Ignite, or if I work with Ignite, is it a consultative approach to people? like, can, because you've got great experience, right? And I know all the team at Ignite are brilliant. If I was to buy Fuse and I need some help, because maybe I'm buying it, listening to this, I'm thinking, you know what, this is great. This could really help me. Is there any kind of support that you could give? I mean, you...
Yeah, no, there is. And that's, you know, that's
I've just tripled Sophie's workload.
That's all right. That's what we do. And that's, you know, Ignite has always seemed to be, you know, we have people come to us and say, I need this. And we've gone, actually, you need this. This is why we think you need it. And we've
I think that's what I was trying to get to. That's because sometimes what you think you need isn't actually what you think you need.
Yeah,
it's actually something else, but you're on the right track.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that we're, you know, previous to this, I've worked across different businesses and I've done consultancy. So it's sort of the area that I love to be in. And I've worked across various restaurants and bar groups and tried to help in any way I can. And so that's why I think I really enjoy this role, is I get to meet all sorts of types of businesses who come to me with all sorts of challenges. And then you've got to work out, well, what's your priority? What's the most important thing that you need?
No, I think it's key. Because I find the educational piece, which is why we started the e-commerce digital infrastructure, because of an education piece. And I actually think when people are buying resource or support or consultancy, that actually there's a little bit more need to give there. You need to just help them over the line and make sure that you're landing it properly. Because, of course, they're going to come back if it goes well.
Absolutely. You've got to get that right. And look, I'm here. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from... I just would love to meet people and hear what their challenges are and take it from there.
And on that note, how do they get hold of... So let's start with Ignite. If they want to work with Ignite and you, how do they do that?
Well, find us. We have a nice website, believe it or not.
better be good.
So, find us online. And the same with Fuse-hospitality.com. And find me on LinkedIn, Sophie MacDonald. And just connect and send me a message and we'll organise a call or meet for a coffee or a drink or whatever
or
you want to do.
Whatever
or a
you
podcast,
feel.
Exactly.
Whatever you feel. Or exactly. CrossFit, maybe. I forgot to mention that. So Sophie, one of Sophie's passions before we let her go. And what do you like to do to keep yourself fit? Moving big wheels around the room?
Yeah, we do have an outdoor gym, actually, so we do have that, which is not a lot of... London gyms have, but yeah, I do enjoy a bit of CrossFit. Clears the head.
Yeah, I tried it once. She told me to try it. I tried it.
Yeah.
I planned to fail and I failed.
I thought you were going to go again.
No. This is not Chris. For now, Sophie.
Come on.
We're not going to discuss my health on this podcast or lack of it. But anyway, look, brilliant. I've been working with, personally been working alongside Paul and Sophie for a few months and it's brilliant. And what I really like about you guys is actually that the care and attention to the industry above and beyond your product, which I think is really interesting. And I do think... if everyone freaks out. There's a lot of people like that in the industry as well, but I really enjoy it. I think the suppliers are part of the industry. I've always said that. And you guys really are. You're like the fabric of what they do. And I think that's why the storytelling side of what you do through Fuse and Ignite really resonates. And that's why you have, I suppose, the customers you have working with you.
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much, Chris.
No problem. I'm here all week. All right, that's great. So thank you, Sophie. If you need to get hold of Sophie, you can find her online or on LinkedIn, Sophie MacDonald, or you can find the website. It's Fused, is it Fuse Hospitality?
Hospitality.com, yeah.
And Ignite, what's Ignite's website? Ignite
Hospitality.com.
Thanks, Sophie. Perfect.
You're welcome.
All right, that's great. That's it. Say bye-bye, Sophie.
Bye. Thanks for having me. I don't know why I'm waving.
Well, you're on camera. Say bye.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Lovely.